Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The one thing about the NBA, it should be such a team game. And the teams that play well play a team style of basketball. And we'll see that tonight. Steve Kerr is head coach at Golden State. They've been terrific. And with Steve coming in there, what have they won? Four NBA titles under Steve? Three against the Cavs,
yes.
And then 2022 against the Celtics.
Yeah, and then the Celtics. Yep.
And they've won four NBA titles. And how do they do it? Well, they've got one guy who scores a ton of points and is really good. But they share the ball. They move the ball. They take shots that you wouldn't think are, I think they're nuts sometimes. But it works. It works for them.
Right. And they've now had to alter because they've lost one of those guys. And they've decided to move on from Klay Thompson. And so now they've once again evolved. It's the biggest thing with the Golden State Warriors. It's a bit of a misnomer, is just the fact that this team continues to evolve to the talent that's around them. I mean, it's what has blown me away most about Steve Kerr. It's like, yes, it's always been Steph Curry, and Steph Curry is the engine that drives this thing. But everything around him, and it's always been Draymond Green, and Draymond Green has been, again, another engine that drives this thing. But boy, oh boy, man, they continue to just think differently and find different ways for these guys to become a part of it and build this offense once again to benefit the guys that are there. I tip my hat to Steve Kerr, and I know people around here can't stand the Warriors, but like, man, I can't help but watch what they do and go, man, you guys know what you're doing.
Steve is one of my favorite guys in sports, and I've known Steve since he played here, and you just kind of thought, well, here's a young guy who may or may not have any kind of an NBA career, you know, because he wasn't playing very much. He barely played when he was in Phoenix. Cavs brought him in, and he went through a stretch here, and it was when the Cavs obviously were playing at the Coliseum, and he didn't play a whole lot, but Mark Price went down. It was like five games, six games, something like that, and Steve stepped in and played big minutes in that stretch and averaged like 12, 13 points a game. And I thought then, you know what? This guy's got more game than everybody thinks that he might have. And in the right spot, that might really work. And he found the right spots.
Yes, he did.
He went from here to Orlando, and then he ends up in Chicago. Well, I'm playing next to Michael Jordan.
Fit the triangle beautifully.
Stand here, be the open guy, be the open shooter in this. Thank you. That worked. And then it worked for him in San Antonio as well.
Absolutely.
And then he ended up terrific broadcasting career. He was a great broadcaster.
He did a great job on those TNT games.
He was really good.
Did a great job on him.
Then he ends up as a GM in Phoenix.
And he was less good at that.
Well, it was a bad situation there. Ownership wasn't good. And,
yeah.
And then he went back to broadcasting.
Made a trade. I'm still grumpy about it. It's the only thing I'll ever hold against the guy.
And I think it was really interesting when he got that job in Golden State, because you just kind of thought, really? No coaching experience. But he was with Phil and he was with Pop, and, you know, he learned a lot of things, played on some great teams. and he turns out to be a great NBA head coach.
But he did a sit down. He sat down with Bill Simmons, I think, right when he got hired. I think it was right around then. And he basically like told Bill on this podcast, he was like, I had been sitting there as a broadcaster thinking about coaching for a long period of time. And what I would do as I was either scouting these games or calling these games is I would see plays that I liked. And I would see different stuff that coaches were doing. And I would tell the guys at TNT, hey, cut that for me. Hey, get a hold of that for me. Hey, can you get this piece of film? Can you get this? And he goes, I basically just built this playbook because I was watching the league and going, oh, I like that. Oh, I really like this. Oh, this is a great idea. Okay, let me steal this. Maybe we could do it this way. You know, and hearing that, you're like, this makes sense. It's part of the reason why I could see what the Lakers see in J.J. Redick, because he seems like another one of those guys who's like, oh, I'm calling these games and I'm watching basketball. Oh, I like that. Okay, I'm going to take that. Let me take this. Let me get this bit of this, and I could build something off of it. It kind of made sense how Steve was talking about it. I was like, you know what? Now I see why I would hire you as a coach.
I threw this out before break. Golden State Warriors Cavs meeting the NBA Finals 4 straight years. I personally think the Cavs would have won the first one. I've mentioned this way too many times. Had even Kyrie been healthy for the whole series, let alone Kyrie and Kevin. But
they were so wounded.
Yeah, and they almost pulled it off. They were scrappy as all get out and took it to 4-2. And so they, 4-1.
They played a style.
No, it was 4-2.
They played a style of basketball that made the 90s Knicks smile.
Right, and if Kyrie had been there, I think they would have won it. And if Kyrie and Kevin were there, I don't think there's any question. The Cavs won the title coming back in 2016, and I don't think they were better teams than Golden State in 2017 and 18. Warriors won those. Are they as big of a rival for a Cleveland team as, and I threw out the names, Steelers, Ravens, Yankees? And my answer is no. They're not as big as the Steelers. I mean, it's you have the geography and you have the incredible history. They're not as big as the Ravens because the Ravens used to be the Browns. Yankees, maybe. Maybe. And I say that only because now in different divisions and you didn't meet with everything on the line.
And you keep seeming with this iteration of the Guardians running into that Yankee team as like just a roadblock. And that's what you end up where you end up hating a team so much is when exactly. They just become that perpetual roadblock in the playoffs that seems to knock you out. I would say it's fizzled a little bit, and especially once LeBron left, I think the hatred of the Golden State Warriors has fizzled. But I think it's one of those where if you got into a crucial situation where you needed the Golden State Warriors either to do something or going against the Golden State Warriors, I think that level of hate would come back easily.
Do you really?
That rivalry would come back
that
really
level
easily.
Of hate.
I think it would, man.
All Draymond has to do is kick someone, you're saying?
I mean, it came down to, like, it came down to if you wore Steph Curry's shoes, people were losing it on you. Like, if you wore a guy's shoes that looked cool, they were like, nope, can't do it, won't have it. You know, you're a disgrace to Cleveland, you're a disgrace, you're a traitor, all of that kind of stuff. Like, it would have to take some kind of a finals appearance or something like that to bring that back because it was such a bubbling hate. I had a buddy who wore Steph's and never heard the end of it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Absolutely. I mean, he was just like, I'm sorry, they looked cool and they were comfortable. You can't wear those!
Cleveland is from Cleveland and he wants to talk about a Cleveland team. Hello, Cleveland.
All right, man.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Great, thank
Real
you.
Well.
Yep. I just wanted to say something. Nobody's saying too much about it, but, man, Dean Wade on that defense, I hope he gets back soon because, man, he steals balls. He doesn't leave his feet. He defends well. You can't get in front of him. And then all three of them 7-footers running up and down the floor. I tell you, man, that's kind of rough with those two little guards running too. You got a big problem, and I'll let you guys answer that.
Yep. Cleveland, thank you very much. Unfortunately, none of the 7-footers are actually 7 foot.
So Zach Lowe always used to make a joke that Dean Wade's skill is the fact that he looks like your accountant. So you immediately like disregard him because he looks like your accountant. And so it
Dean's like 6'9".
Yeah.
Jared Allen's actually 6'9".
Well,
and
but
Evan Mobley's
you
like
add
6'11".
In the afro and you get pretty close.
You got about 7'6".
I mean, that thing's got some heft.
Got some
to
juice.
It. Yeah. So that helps because you can't really see through it. Like, it helps. It's an asset.
Well, if anybody's listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I think Dean Wade is a good player and a good defensive player. And he's better with his feet than a lot of people think a guy that size should be. If he can keep up with the small forward du jour, whoever they're playing that night, that's a huge help because it gives the Cavs a nice size advantage. And his game, Dan, as you mentioned earlier, being able to knock down that three is something that's a real, real nice element to go along with the two big guys inside who mainly play inside. And oddly enough, Kenny Atkinson has figured out a way to make that work.
Funny how you could play high-low in the modern NBA.
Go figure.
If only we had a former coach tell us that on the air once.
And with the two guards who like the ball and have done a great job of moving the ball. But Dean Wade's a real nice fit alongside those guys.
He's been the perfect asset. I want to see what it looks like when they take on Boston, or I want to see what it looks like if he's out there having to guard a healthy Kawhi, you know, when the planets align.
Fill in the blank small forward.
When the planets align correctly and Kawhi Leonard plays basketball, like, I want to see what it looks like when he has to take on those kind of guys. That's where it's going to show up, is when you start getting those 6'7", 6'8" guys mm-hmm. who are just wrecking the league and are a bear. Can Dean Wade stay by those guys? Can he hang with a Jaylen Brown? Can he hang with any of those just small forward, possibly power forward type guys that are just so hard? A little bit of news. The New York Yankees today announced that they have exercised their 2025 club option for Aaron Boone. Exciting Yankee fans all over.
Booney.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Another really nice guy who, unfortunately, is the manager of the Yankees, and being the manager of the Yankees makes you grumpy and puts you in the bad light of New York media.
Makes you,
and New York Yankee fans.
Makes you age like a president.
It kind of does.
It does. That poor guy, when he got in there, he was so cheerful and youthful, and now he's just aged like 10 years and five.
He was so much fun when he was here, when he played here. Andy and I were doing...
I was going to say, you guys have a...
We were doing Indians programming at the time. Boney was so fun when he was here. He was a really good dude. And now every time I see him, you know, he's the manager of the Yankees. It seems grumpy. You know, that guy seems grumpy. And it's like, that's not the nice guy that I knew.
We got to think, if a whole city is blaming you for a problem, and a really big city on top of that.
Think about that. A whole city with a nasty media base is blaming you.
And we're not talking like, you know, we're not talking like Hudson is blaming you. We're talking New York City, which is essentially a country. Is blaming you for the inability of players and the fact that you brought in the wrong reliever at the wrong time. This guy sucks.
You'd be grumpy too.
You'd be pretty grumpy on top of it. Like, when your expectations every single season are you either win a title or you're a blatant failure and you could just go away and we never see you again. Like, you'd be a little grumpy.
What it did to poor Stump Merrill.
You'd be a little grumpy.
Tim May covers the Ohio State Buckeyes in every way, shape, and form for Letterman Row. He also has the Tim May podcast, and he's also with us every Friday at 1 o'clock. This is Friday. It's almost 1 o'clock. That means Tim May is coming up right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.